This flash briefing was made possible by a sponsorship from AveXis, a clinical stage gene therapy company. The following content was not developed by AveXis.
Today is Wednesday, February 13th, 2019. I'm Michael Morale, Forums and Multimedia Director for SMA News Today. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration is updating its 2015 draft guidelines for drug discovery in rare diseases with new guidance on natural history, how disorders such as spinal muscular atrophy run their course if untreated, the choice of efficacy endpoints in clinical trials, and how disease biomarkers might be identified and used. Public comments are being accepted through mid-March regarding the draft, entitled Rare Diseases, Common Issues in Drug Development, and subtitled Guidance for Industry. Released on January 16th, the draft guidance aims to help pharmaceutical companies and other sponsors of clinical trials testing medicines and biological products for rare diseases to be more efficient and successful in their development programs. The site is expected to accept the posting of comments once the draft is listed on the Federal Registry. A public meeting is also planned to obtain patients' and caregivers' perspectives on the impacts of rare diseases on daily life that might help in the development of new treatments and in improving clinical trials. A date and place is yet to be announced. Scott Gottlieb, the agency's commissioner, said the following in a press release, quote, "The FDA is committed to supporting the development of treatments for patients with rare diseases and has been focused on advancing policies that will help enable these opportunities. The revised draft guidance discusses select issues commonly encountered in rare disease drug development. While similar issues often also come up for common diseases, they're frequently more difficult to address in the context of rare diseases, for which there's often limited medical and scientific knowledge." End quote. When finalized, the guidance will present the agency's current thinking on the topic. Its 24 pages include discussion of issues in evaluating and validating biomarkers as surrogate endpoints, which are the outcomes a clinical trial measure therapy effectiveness against, non-clinical aspects of evaluating treatment compounds, a new section on the evaluation of safety questions, and additional information on changes to a medicine's compound or product manufacturing processes. It was issued by the FDA's Center for Drug Evaluation and Research and its Center for Biologics Evaluation and Research, known as the CDER and CBER, respectively. Sections that are included in this study include disease pathophysiology, clinical manifestations and identification, and the use of biomarkers, non-clinical studies, the selection of efficacy endpoints, or a trial's main goals in terms of patient outcomes, identifying and validating biomarkers, and using biomarkers as surrogate trial endpoints. Also, evidence of effectiveness and safety, pharmaceutical quality considerations, and interactions with the FDA. The draft also states the following, quote, "The natural history of rare diseases is often poorly understood, and the need for prospectively designed, protocol-driven natural history studies initiated in the earliest drug development cannot be overemphasized." End quote. While natural history studies are not a trial requirement, the agency advised study sponsors to evaluate early the depth and quality of existing studies to determine how well they might apply. Such efforts may run parallel with drug development work, allowing for adjustments in the work, the draft states. A fuller understanding of rare diseases, it continues, can help sponsor better defined patient populations to target and in identifying key disease subtypes. With time, this would foster a better matching of patients to trial goals. In some cases, like when a control group may be impractical or unethical, a quality natural history study might even suffice, the draft suggests. Because of the deadly nature of some rare diseases, experts say it can be difficult to get enough patients for a viable control group, patients who will not be given the investigative treatment, but a placebo, to see how their outcomes compare to those who are treated. The agency recommends that natural history studies be a sufficient duration, select data elements based on disease features, collect data from a variety of sources, include patients across a wide spectrum of disease severity and phenotypes, and use standardized collection methods and medical terminology. It also encourages making data from natural history studies publicly available to support and promote rare disease drug development. Under Gottlieb's direction, the FDA appears open to working with patient advocacy groups in creating rare disease trials that use more meaningful endpoints and real-world information instead of depending on placebo groups for efficacy assessments. The FDA in 2017 awarded research grants totaling $6.3 million for natural history study in rare diseases, the first time the agency provided funding for such purpose through its Orphan Products Grants Program. Gottlieb went on to state the following in his conclusion, quote, "Many of the updates are in direct response to feedback that we received on our prior draft. By continuing to provide clarity and direction to drug developers, we hope to facilitate the development and approval of more safe and effective treatments for patients with rare diseases." End quote. Coming up next, perspectives from SMA News Today Community Editor Kevin Schaefer.
Are you interested in understanding gene therapy? ExploreGeneTherapy.com has helpful information about gene therapy, including its history and how it is being investigated for the treatment of genetic diseases. Visit www.exploregenetherapy.com.
From the SMA News Today forums, the following is a recent topic from the Adults with SMA forum. Sitting Unassisted During Physical Therapy by Kevin Schaefer. If you follow my coworker Michael Morales' personal YouTube channel, you've probably seen clips of him doing physical therapy each week. One of the exercises he's been doing recently is trying to sit up unassisted on the PT table at the clinic he goes to. I told my physical therapist, Jean, about this recently, and of course she had me try it. This went really well. I do water therapy every week, and at the clinic I go to, there's a bench built into the pool. Jean set me on the bench and had me stay there for a few minutes while I moved my arms and legs. I also wear a neck collar while I'm in the pool to keep me above the water, and having this device on while I sat on the bench did help me stay balanced. Basically, my entire upper body was a few inches above the water while I sat on the bench. I'll see if I can take a few pictures at my next appointment, but I just wanted to share this update. Even if you're not on Spinraza, I really encourage you to give physical therapy a shot. I've been doing it since before I started my Spinraza treatments, and it helps me tremendously. Do you have any questions about how to get started? Join the discussion here in the SMA News Today forums, along with many others. I'm Kevin Schaefer, community editor for SMA News Today.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to SMA News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. All of our podcasts and flash briefings can be found by going to our website at www.smanewstoday.com. You can also find our podcast and flash briefings on SoundCloud, Spotify, and iTunes. And be sure to follow us on our Facebook page as well. For SMA News Today, I'm Michael Morale, Forums and Multimedia Director.